Let's begin our time in the Word this morning with prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and for your Word. We just pray your Spirit would speak to us today wherever we are, in whatever situation. Lord, just speak to us and open our hearts for what we have today. We just ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I want to start off, we've all seen it, the child who needs affirmation and wants to be recognized for some accomplishment. Picture the kid that comes up and shows you their medal, their ribbon, something they've made. But children just want to be recognized for the good things that they do. Sometimes they may just come up to us and tell us something that they did that they thought was of note and good. We can also picture the little boy who comes up to his mother and shows her the snake that they just caught. You know, sometimes little boys do that, or little girls. They don't do that to scare their mother. They do it because there was something that they accomplished and wanted to be recognized for, acknowledged. You know, in many ways, we as adults also want to be recognized as having things, as doing things that are good, noteworthy, and face it, a lot of us just want to be better in a lot of ways. We as Christians still seek affirmation from God, even though we may see in our own lives ourselves falling short. And I can also think along these lines of people who don't come to church. They may like to or have a desire to come to a worship setting, but perhaps they feel they need to clean up their act first. And as we begin this morning, I want us to think of the fact that last Sunday, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. We looked at the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and how important that is and what a milestone in our lives as Christians. Today, we're going to back that one up, and we're going to spend some time looking at what was accomplished by Jesus' death and resurrection, and see why he did that for us. So today, we're going to see that every Christian's capable of being made righteous through our faith in Christ. So today we're going to be looking in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 31. I urge you wherever you are, just grab a Bible, look on your device, but try to follow along in the scripture. And I'm going to read right through that now. So Romans 3, 21 through 31. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? Is it excluded? By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. The first point we want to look at today is the fact that we can experience Christ's righteousness by realizing that we fall short. And as we look at this, we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 23. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We see here that this righteousness is attainable by faith. It's available to both Jews and Gentiles to whom Paul wrote this letter. And we realize they were all in the same boat. They'd all sinned and fallen short. Sound familiar? As we begin today, I want us to first unpack this word righteousness. We're going to hear it a lot. It sounds like one of those big churchy words that we hear, and sometimes we scratch our heads wondering what we're reading or thinking or listening to. But basically, righteousness is right standing before God. It's the act of being clean. We may interject or use the word holy. So as we talk today and we share, think of righteousness as standing and having a right standing before God. And we want to jump right into verse 23 here. And this is the one in the center of this passage that we hear a lot, and we just kind of hear that piece of it. But we want to start here. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We can clearly see the truth that we're all sinners, and we all fall short. And as we contemplate this, and we look at this verse, when Paul says all, he means all. You, me, Billy Graham, the names can go on and on. Everyone has sinned. We're all in the same boat. There's no exceptions. So in that, we can't of ourselves be clean before God. It's impossible. And sometimes in our lives, people can get into the trap of comparison. Well, I must be pretty good. I'm a lot better than Adolf Hitler. I'm better than Stalin. I'm better than the gangster down the street. And by that kind of comparison, you could kind of feel pretty good about yourself. Or you could, in your comparison, you could think Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, people like that, and for us in the Alliance, A.W. Tozer. Think of those who are scholarly and learned, and they have to have it together a whole lot more than I do. And so that comparison doesn't work either. But even if it did, I want us to really think about something today, because the standard isn't the people that we can see maybe not as good as we are, or the people that are a little better than we are. That's not the standard. The standard that God uses in our measurement is Jesus Christ. And even as I compare my life to that of Jesus, I don't even come close. But we need to start here. You know, in the state we're in, we're functioning in our sin nature. And to give us a little perspective on this, think about the average two-year-old. You know, somehow we don't have to teach them how to lie. We don't have to teach them how to cheat at games. We don't have to teach them to grab a cookie if they can reach it and run and hide in the other room and eat it and then come back and grab another one. But sometimes, even in that, we see them wanting to hide that misbehavior because they know it doesn't stack up. Sin in our lives can make us feel that way. We want to hide. We're ashamed. And in a lot of ways, it can almost be hopeless for us. But this is just our starting point this morning. And, you know, it may sound hopeless, and not knowing how you're processing this even now, but the good news is coming. But the bottom line is, we can't be clean before God in our own power. I can't do it, and you can't do it. The second point we want to consider this morning is this. We can experience Christ's righteousness by understanding that Jesus is the true basis for that true righteousness. And we're going to be continuing in Romans 3, but I'm going to back up just a little bit for continuity and flow to the second part of verse 22, but we're going to be focusing on 24 through 26. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He'd passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. You know, we've already looked and realized that we've fallen short. And the text that we just read takes us into an explanation of all that Jesus has done for us. As we think about what we celebrated last week, Jesus died and He was buried. He was dead. But He rose in victory over sin and death. And He did that for us. And so we're going to look at some of the mechanics of what He accomplished there. And we see also in verse 24 that we're justified by God's grace and that it's a gift. And I want us to think that these things that Jesus did for us, think of them as a gift. And as we go through this and what we just shared, there's a whole lot of those big churchy words again, and we're going to take some time to unpack these as well. And the first one I want us to really look at is justified or justification. And to kind of simplify that down for us today, just think of it this way. It's just as if I hadn't sinned, to be made right. That was a gift from God through Christ. The next word we want to, that we see in that text and want to look at is redemption. And for me, kind of thinking old school, I don't know how many of you can remember the old S&H green stamps. You went to the grocery store and you bought so many dollars worth of things and you got your change back, but you got a whole bunch of these green stamps that you stuck in a book. And if you saved enough of them up and spent enough money, you could redeem those stamps for glasses or silverware or a lamp or a picture or junk. But the thought of redemption is we had one thing that we exchanged for another. It was redeemable for other things. One traded for another. And what Jesus did for us, he traded our sin and our being stuck in a sinful world system . He did that in his sacrifice. But what he did, he exchanged that for righteousness in him. He took our sin and gave us clean. And it's a gift. He made us clean just as if we hadn't sinned. And you know, in that, Jesus transforms our life of sin into one of victory. Sometimes sin does rear its ugly head on occasion in our lives, but it's not the pattern anymore. And as we continue in what we read, we see one more really big word. And that was propitiation. And this one sometimes can really make us scratch our heads, but as we put that into context, we see Jesus' gift of grace and his justification and his redemption, they're all settled in his propitiation. And I want us to think of it this way. Propitiation means that God's wrath for our sin has been totally and completely satisfied. It's paid. It's paid in full. The judgment that we earned in our sin is paid in full. Paid up by Jesus Christ. And you know, we contemplate this as being a gift of grace and of love. And I think of how do we apply this in our lives? And I think sometimes it's hard. Because if you're like me, you realize that I deserve that wrath for my sin and my sin nature. And that Jesus willingly and lovingly took that up, took your sin and my sin on himself, and was nailed to the cross with it. We looked on Good Friday, and I think of the fact that one of the last things Jesus says on the cross is, "It is finished." It was paid in full. It's hard to understand. It's hard to comprehend. But we can bank on this. He died for you, and he died for me. What a picture of love. We couldn't pay it. We We didn't need to clean up our act to deserve what Jesus did for us. He just did it for us. And so as we think of where we've already been here, we realize we can't do it. We can't be righteous in ourselves. But we see that Jesus offers that righteousness for us. The next point we want to look at today and consider is this, that we can experience Christ's righteousness by trusting the heart of God by our faith. And in this, we want to consider verses 29 through 31 of Romans 3. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. And as we look at this, we see a basic fact. We have a need to be made righteous. Paul, as he was writing this letter, he made the point that both Jew and Gentile, and think of Gentile as anyone who's not a Jew, they both needed to be right before God, and it's something that we need as well. We can't do it for ourselves. We saw the love of Christ doing it for us and paving the way for that righteousness. And the good news of this gospel is that it's intended for all mankind, not just one group of people. And that was really Paul's point. It wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the Gentiles also. It wasn't just for me. It's for you. It wasn't just for you. It's for me also. It's for the person down the street. It's for your neighbor who maybe during this time when we're not meeting together, you've had opportunity to give them a call and check on them and speak into their lives. This gospel is for them. This good news is for them. It's intended for everyone. And it shows God's heart. And one of my favorite verses I'm going to share is 2 Peter 3:9. And I love this verse because it really shows us the heart of God. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Here we see the fact that both Jew and Gentile can see the heart of God and his desire for us to repent of our sin and to enter into a relationship with him, a relationship that had been broken because of sin. You see, God wants that restored, and we need to trust him in the heart he has for us in this. You know, I know people and in discussion with them, and when I was younger, I even myself had this thought that, boy, how could God love me? And I don't know if you're one of those people. It's like, I've done too many sinful and evil things. How could God love me? God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with me. We need to trust the fact that he loves. And we have to do that by faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So to trust God's heart, we need faith. And thinking about this verse here and this whole concept, what is faith really? It's not a blind hope that we hope things work out. for us as Christians, our faith is tangible. It's something that we can grasp. It's as we as Christians live in faith and belief that God's love and his promises are good, we have the assurance to know that his promises are true and for us. And that helps us to trust the heart of God. You know, we see the basis of this hope and belief in Christ. You know, we just read verses 28 through 30, and we see there that our faith and belief in Jesus Christ is our blessed hope. And to reiterate that, for we hold that the one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. We are justified by faith, not by the things we do, not by the actions we have or the motives. We're justified by faith. In verses 29 and 30 that we've read, they tell us that God is not the God of Jews only, and not the God of Gentiles only. But he tells us that he's the God of Gentiles also, as he is the Jews. In verse 30, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith, he will do that. And he will justify the uncircumcised through faith. So faith in trusting God's heart is key. It's not just the Jews having faith. It's not just the Gentiles having faith. It's personal. It's individual. I can't have faith for my kids or my grandkids. You can't have faith for your kids. You need to hold on to that faith yourself. You need to consider that God's promise and his gift for you is good. And trust his heart in this through faith. So we've looked so far, we realize we can't be righteous in ourselves. Jesus can be the righteousness for us, and to trust God's heart in that. And our last point today is simply this. We can experience Christ's righteousness by embracing and accepting by faith that gift of God. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to accept it and embrace it. And we see this clearly and early on in the Romans passage. And look into verses 21 and 22 of chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. It's tied to our belief. The righteousness we receive is tied to believing what Jesus did was enough. It was for you. It was for me. But believing it and embracing it, those verses tell us it's for all us who believe. And we just need to understand it and respond to it, the truth we see. We can't do it on our own effort. You can't do it. I can't do it. It's a gift from God through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice he made for us. We need to embrace it. We need to understand it. And to illustrate that, I want us to look and consider in 2 Corinthians 5:20 and 21, Paul writing to a different group of people at a different time. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he, God, made him to be sin who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me read that verse 21 again. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Exchanging our sin for righteousness. I don't know about you, but for me this is remarkable. This is the amazing part of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the reason last Sunday we celebrated what Jesus did, because he did this for us. Without his death and payment for our sin, we have no hope. We need to embrace it and understand it. And the other amazing part about this is it was our sin, but it was Jesus who did the reconciling. He made it good. He made it right. You know, if I did something against one of you, it would be my job to ask for your forgiveness, to make it right. We in our sin, we didn't do it. We couldn't do it. Jesus did it for us. And another point to consider in this was a little further in Romans. We were looking in chapter 3, but in Romans 5:8, Paul writes this: But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So as we look at that, my thinking is we don't need to clean up our act to come to Christ. He did it while we're yet sinners. We couldn't be clean. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. We've already talked about that. He did it for us. We need to just accept it and embrace it. That he died for you, he died for me, to make us right before God. And that righteousness, it's a gift. And you know, as we begin to draw this to a close this morning, and we take some time here to pause and reflect and process, we have a lot to think about. It is possible for us to be made righteous, but it's through our faith in Christ. We need to just come to terms with it. And live it and experience it as God wants us to in that gift. We weren't good enough. But the truth of it is, God wants us to be righteous so that we can be in fellowship with him. And that blows my mind as I think and contemplate. That we can't do it. Jesus did it for us. You and I can trust the heart of God in love and embrace and accept that gift that he gave us. And I want us to think, and I want you to take some time to think today. What about me? Where am I in this process? I know there's some listening, many listening, who have embraced this righteousness through faith in Christ and live it. And there may be some of you who are Christians who never fully wrapped your mind around this and are stuck somewhere in, I trust Jesus, but I still feel dirty. I feel unworthy to be a child of God. And I know some of you may be struggling with that. There's some of you who may be listening who've never taken the opportunity to really ever trust Christ for this work he did for you. And to those of you, I really would like you to consider that gift. Because when we fully understand it and embrace it, we see the heart of God. We experience the love of God and Christ Jesus. I remember being there. And I know if you've never accepted that gift before, if you do that, that's the best gift you will ever receive. It was the best one I ever received. So take some time and I want you to contemplate all that Jesus has done for you. And as we close this time, I want you to really think about the fact that God wants us to be righteous because he wants a relationship with us. He wants it restored. He wants you to live in fellowship with him because he loves you desperately. And so, as we come to a time of prayer, consider these truths and realize all that Jesus accomplished on the cross, dying for our sins and justifying us, redeeming us, being that propitiation, satisfying God's wrath, that we never need to face that again. God doesn't want us to face it. He loves us. He wants us restored. And so we can trust in faith and live in faith and experience that righteousness that he has for us. And I just want to challenge you, if you're listening today and this is something you've never done before, you've never embraced it, you've never believed, you've never come to faith in Christ, that's something you can do even as we pray here at the end. And it's something, if you would like to unpack a little more, you could, you know, feel free to call the church office. And someone will be getting back to you and can share a little better, a little more personally, this good news of Jesus Christ. Let's take some time and pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the love that you have for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you paid the price, Lord, that you've redeemed us. You've justified us, made us just as if we hadn't sinned. Because of that love relationship that you want us to experience in you and with you. Lord, I pray for those listening who may have never trusted Christ for the righteousness he wants to give and for their forgiveness. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just whisper your love and affirmation for those, Lord, who need to hear it today. Lord, you want us to be righteous before you because you want us to be able to hear, well done. You want us to feel your pleasure and your love and your joy, Lord, and all the good you have for us. Help us in this. Help us to understand it and embrace it. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. As we finish up today in this service, I just want you to realize and know how much that God loves you and how much Jesus loves you, gave himself for you. And Easter isn't about one Sunday a year. It's about every day of the year. And my prayer is for us is that we would live in the righteousness that he has planned for us and given to us as a gift. And we just want to thank him for that this morning. Father, we do thank you for your good gifts. We thank you for your righteousness, for all that it means. Lord, to us, we thank you. We're thankful, Lord, that you want us to be in good standing with you so we can understand and embrace all the good you have for us. So, Lord, guide us in that in the days to come. Pray that you would keep us healthy, keep us safe. And, Lord, just hold us in the hollow of your hand. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.